chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the Mardawog, the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in Sonoma County, the North Bay, and beyond. It's Michelle Anna Jordan, live in the studio. Hope you've had a great day. Great weather today, huh? And let's see, do I have anything in my headphones, Anthony? I don't have anything in my headphones yet, so if you could help me out a little bit with that, I will be able to hear myself talk and hear myself think as well. That's always a nice thing. Anyway, hope you have had a great weekend. I'm so glad that the heat wave broke. Farmers markets this weekend were absolutely lovely. And today we are talking about something that is at pink season in Sonoma County, and that is blueberries. The Sonoma Swamp Blueberries farm stand there at the where high school dead ends into Occidental Road is open, and they also attend the Sebastopol Farmers Market. They were there today, but we have someone very special in our studio, and that is Lori Duckworth of Duckworth Farms, and sitting before me is a gorgeous flat of her big, plump blueberries. Welcome to Mouthful. I've wanted to have you on forever.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Let's start talking first. Just put us on the farm. Tell us where the farm is, how many acres, what it looks like, yeah, sort of thing.
We are in Southwest Sebastopol. So we have 82 acres.
A little closer to the mic.
We have 82 acres. 10 of it, or less than 10 actually, we have in blueberries. So we run about 5,000 plants. We also grow organic certified hay. You good? And we have sheep and wool. And it's basically a diversified farm. We do a lot of hand picking, all of it, and we do a lot of hand work, but we also use tractors for our hay products.
Mm-hmm. And when I first met you, you called me and wanted to give me some berries. And if I remember correctly, those first berries were strawberries.
Yes.
We met in the parking lot of the French Garden, and you had this fabulous old red truck.
Still have it.
And you gave me the most extraordinary strawberries. My whole car was filled with their aroma. Then my house was filled with their aroma. What's happened to your strawberries?
Well, I'm not growing them right now. We will get back to that. The problem with strawberries is, and I think we did a good job with them, and they tasted fabulous.
Yes.
And we strictly went for aroma and taste. But the problem with strawberries is they'll make a cripple out of you. Harvesting them is very difficult, especially for me. I'm on my hands and knees. And so I thought, what other berry would I work this hard for? And I thought, blueberries. And the strawberries were extraordinary, and it was during a tour. We had land paths come out. I had a man actually make it pretty clear how important getting fruit in the hands of children is. And that was kind of a, it was an eye-opening experience.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this gentleman come, did the two-mile walk around the property. The man had to be in his 70s, used to be on the Atomic Regulatory Commission, knew all about hole in the head, was one of them that testified. And this man had two walker canes, and he couldn't bend down to pick the berries. So people were asking me questions. I reached down, and I picked a generous handful of berries and just handed them to him, thinking, you know, here you go. You can't reach them. So people are asking me questions. And within about 3 minutes, I look at him, and this man is crying. I mean, tears are streaming down. And what he said was extraordinary. He said, I haven't tasted a strawberry this good since I was 4 years old.
Oh.
And thank you for putting me at my mother's apron. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh gosh, that's so sweet.
And that's why I started growing berries. Mm-hmm. I had worked in a strawberry field as a kid in Oregon and loved the flavor, and everything I bought down here didn't taste right.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally thought, that's it, I need to grow them, which mm-hmm. we did and did well. But mm-hmm. blueberries have been a good crop for us. Mm-hmm. Our soil is better suited for blueberries than strawberries.
Uh-huh.
So that was one of the determining factors.
Because, mm-hmm. we had Sonoma Blueberry Farm out in, for a long time. Green Valley Blueberry Farm. And that was, they seemed to be the only commercial growers for a long time. And then they sold their farm.
They did.
And then we started seeing more blueberry producers.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's one, White Fox Farm.
Yes,
out Barbara. In, former
Freestone Occidental,
veterinarian. Retired veterinarian. She's had a bad year.
I heard that.
Yeah, she had. It was a problem with from the rains.
Oh,
she got some
botrytis.
No, it wasn't. She didn't say botrytis. I just ran into her somewhere.
Oh, her berries are fabulous.
They are. She just has a very, very small crop this year. She's only attending the Occidental market.
Oh,
it wasn't mold. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She's just had a hard year.
Oh, it's too bad.
And how is your, did the rains?
No.
You were okay? You're
actually,
okay?
Actually, I'm ahead. This is my best crop ever.
Really?
Yes.
That's great.
It is. It's worked out really well. But we get wind, so we don't get a lot of problems.
Yeah, you don't get mold from them being wet.
We don't. And we're on a hillside. Mm-hmm. Not much of a slope.
What road are you?
We're off of Canfield. So Canfield, in between Robler and Schaefer is where we're at. We bought the old Neiman's Dairy.
Oh, okay.
Back 15 years ago.
I know Canfield really well.
It's a beautiful
road. It's one of my shortcuts.
Oh, then you probably know us. We're the barn with the two cupolas on top.
Okay. Okay, yes, absolutely.
That's us.
Okay. Where do you sell your berries? Because you don't attend farmers markets.
I do not.
Yeah.
I am in all the Oliver's markets. I'm in the community markets. I'm in Mimi's Screaming Ice Cream.
Yeah. Oh, if you go onto Facebook, you have to see the photographs of Screaming Mimi's, or just go to Screaming Mimi's.
They're beautiful.
It's such gorgeous ice cream. It's so beautiful.
It's so creamy and good. And it's really nice. You feel like you've arrived. If, you know, if they use your berries, it's like, oh, this is like a real boost.
They're such a wonderful place.
They are. They are. And I love that they hire the high school kids. It's a good community.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So locally, we can get your berries. That's awesome.
You can only get them locally. I absolutely do not sell out of county.
Oh, great.
And there's a reason. We're an open space property, which means mm-hmm. I can't develop it for anything except for agriculture. A lot of people have bought these open space properties and turned them into estate homes. We didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
There was no requirement that I go into farming, but I felt like, gosh, we got it at a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. And we get inspected once a year to make sure, you know, we're not putting in condos or a 7-Eleven. But we feel like the people of Sonoma County have paid 0.25% in sales mm-hmm. tax every time they purchase something. I'm, in a way, the benefactress of that largesse by the Sonoma County people. And I feel like, you know, why not keep them local? Keep the price fair.
Yeah, I didn't realize there were these estate homes on open space.
The people that put an offer in on the property before we bought it were from Belvedere. And they were just going to put in a small 8,000 square foot, you know, summer home. And luckily, Bud Neiman's wanted somebody in that was going to farm. And I had two small girls at the time, and he thought it was hilarious that they would jump out of the truck before it stopped. And he thought we'd be a good mix, and it turned out really well.
Good for him.
He was forward-thinking. He was a good mm-hmm. man.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know a few years ago, you were doing something because we were talking about menus for your event.
Yes.
What was the group that came?
Woof.
Oh, Wolf. That's right. It was Wolf.
Yeah.
And we should say what Wolf is.
WWOOF. So it stands for, it's a mouthful.
Worldwide organic?
No. Worldwide opportunities on organic farms.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So we host a lot, mainly European students.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I will say the inquiry letters are down this year, I think, due to the political climate
sure,
in this country.
A lot of people don't want to come to the United States. And one thing, I know a neighbor of mine has a friend from Switzerland, and she was going to come for a long stay. And she says, I don't know if we can. We don't want to spend our money. And
so
not
sad.
But my friend pointed out, but you're coming to California. And here's how we're different.
Yes, that's what I tell them.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of students that have been here years past, mm-hmm. and they come back.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky to have some students that have been here before. And so they're here to learn farming.
Mm-hmm.
I have high school students on senior projects all the way up to PhD students.
Wow.
Yeah, I had one, actually, a retired professor from UC Berkeley actually say to me, what on earth could you teach a PhD student on a farm?
Really?
He did.
And God, I would think a lot.
It was, as it turns out. And she was a nuclear physicist. And what I said was, we teach them life skills. We teach them stuff they don't know.
Yeah.
So when you come to the farm, you learn to weld if you want.
Wow.
We shear the sheep. They learn to do a drop spindle. We have spinning wheels. We make rag rugs on one of 7 looms. We do cooking classes.
You do?
Yes.
What kind of cooking classes?
I teach them.
Uh-huh.
We need you to come out.
I would love to come teach.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to.
And I do welding. My husband does that.
Wow.
I have a farrier that comes in, teaches them roping, and they learn to run a forge.
Tell me a little bit more about roping. What was the word you used to describe?
Roping?
Yeah, you said a fair.
He's a farrier, which is the guy that, he's a cowboy.
Uh-huh.
He's fabulous, Mike Brookfield, and he does my horse's shoes,
mm-hmm.
but he is also runs the forge, but he also grew up one of the last cowboys in California when they used to do the cattle drives across the Sierras. He was one of those guys. He grew up in Surprise Valley and just is an amazing guy. So grew up roping, and he comes out and teaches the students, and it's amazing how quickly they catch on. And then he runs the forge. So every week it's something different.
Uh-huh.
He's a true asset.
Oh, how interesting. So we've got, you know, wool, spinning, rope making, welding.
Weaving on a loom.
Okay, weaving on a...
Cooking.
Cookie. That's
carpentry.
Carpentry.
We teach them how to run a tractor, how to back up a trailer, how to drive a stick shift.
How long do people stay?
The minimum we require is 3 weeks.
Okay.
And the longest someone stayed is 5 months, our entire length that we're open.
Do they live there on the farm?
They do. We have these fabulous sort of out of Africa tents, and they're set up against the back of our largest pond so they can swim. We built a shower house with an on-demand hot water heater, and they learn to come in and cook. And our philosophy is a lot of this generation has not been allowed to fail. They haven't been told it's okay. So we sort of do mindfulness through failure. We let mm-hmm. them try until they fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then we back up and say, okay, what'd you learn from that? And what would you like to know? And then we try to redirect them towards their successes. But
mm-hmm.
as we tell them, you know, if you're successful, it could be one of a billion things. But when you fail, it's so easy to look back and go, oh, aha, I won't do that again. And
mm-hmm.
cooking is great for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we let them get in. I have a commercial kitchen. And
you do?
I do. I've got a 6-burner stove, 2 ovens, a commercial dishwasher.
Wow.
And we let them play.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are all the seconds, the blueberries that aren't ripe enough to go out, we save. We do jams and pies and galettes. And
you know, my column, my Food and Wine Pairing column that will be out this Wednesday, blueberry ketchup.
Oh, I have got to try that. This is going to be fun. Is it good? It's got to be great.
It's good. Yeah. It was to pair with a specific wine. And it's interesting. The minute I tasted this wine, I started thinking about first plum ketchup,
mm-hmm.
Ketchup made from plums. And then I started thinking about ketchup made from berries. And it's the hamburger red. There's this tradition with the Wednesday before 4th of July, Peg Melnick, the wine editor, she always does a hamburger red wine column, and then I get in the mail, they ship me the winning wine,
mm-hmm.
and then I taste it, and I write pairing notes. I write mostly non-traditional pairing notes and a recipe, and I thought, oh, this has to be some sort of berry ketchup, and a wine from, it's Klein, this time it's Klein Cellars Antique Carignan.
Ooh.
Is the wine, and I looked up just to see what last year's winner was, and it turns out it was Klein Morvedra, and my recipe was plum ketchup.
Oh, no,
so there's
funny.
Something about these really rich, ancient, old vine reds from Klein that just make me think of fruit ketchup. So yeah, it's wonderful. And the thing that it's really good on, I mean, it's fine with a traditional burger,
mm-hmm.
but if you make a burger, if you make a duck burger, it's even better. Duck and blue. I mean, it's so funny that it's called Duckworth because
yeah.
blueberries and duck just go so well together. And I think, speaking about blueberries, it's time for our first musical interlude here on Mouthful.
Baby brought me in out off the highway, made me put my money in the bank, straightened out my crooked way of thinking, made it purely pleasure when I drank, and it's alright, I just hit my stride right off the bat, loading my truck on the burn. Alright, I just hit my stride right off the bat, loading my truck on the burn.
Yeah, not blueberry wine, but bluebird wine. Remember blueberry wine? I think Boone's Farm made a blueberry wine. I think it was even sweeter than their Strawberry Hill. But, you know, we all had to go through that period back then.
Oh, yes.
So I want to go back to the farm. How many students do you have at a time?
I try to keep it under 12. Now, okay. Last year I had 19, and it was a bit of a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, 12, really? Just because?
It's so many people, and
yeah.
it's hard to give everybody
herding
what
cats.
They need.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're actually really great. So uh-huh. our philosophy is we teach a person at a time, and then they teach the next person, and we oversee. Because the oh. best way to learn is to teach.
How cool.
It is.
It is.
It really is.
It's true.
And we have turned some non-cooks into some fairly decent cooks.
That's great. And then how much does it cost to participate in the program?
Zero.
What?
Zero.
Really?
You apply, and depending on the quality of your letter, you might get asked to give me a follow-up call, and then I interview you, and if I feel like you'd be a good mix. So for me, it's like putting together a dinner party.
Uh-huh.
And what I tell people is when you go to a dinner party, there's sort of an unwritten law. If you're not cooking, then you're the entertainment. You need to be talking to the people next to you. You need to give something back.
Exactly.
So when you come to my farm, it's the same thing. If you have a story, we need to hear it. If you have a skill, I want to see it. I don't care how crazy it is. So we've had people that have come and really had surprising skills.
Oh, that is so, what an extraordinary program.
It is.
Does it operate year-round, or do you have downtime?
We do have downtime.
Mm-hmm.
I like to travel a little bit, but we operate right now from April 1st until the last day in August.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, so that's a long season.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good season. And the people, like last year we had a gal from Holland. She came and stayed the 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
went home, contacted me a week later and said, I just need to come back. So she came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard from her last week. She's coming back again on the 12th. So we're really excited to have Robin and a guy from Spain, Raul's coming back. Mm-hmm. And we have Peter, who's been with us. This is his second year.
I want my grandson Lucas to come.
It's fun. How old is Lucas?
16.
Needs to be 18.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think that'd be fun. And like I said, we've had some local high school students. I don't typically
yeah,
do
I was thinking, yeah, when you said high school, I was wondering if it would mean Lucas was possible.
Yeah, it's fun. And again, there's skills you're going to learn on
yeah,
the farm.
Yeah, he needs
learn
to learn skills.
Else.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we're a community, so we eat together.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no social media devices allowed in my kitchen dining room.
Right on.
And if they're there, I'd take them. put them outside. Uh-huh. And if it's the third time, I turn them into a Frisbee. I feel like it's my kitchen, my rules.
But absolutely.
What happens is people leave and they go home, and I get letters from either them or their mother saying, oh my God, what a difference. And they actually have conversations now. And we've lost this breaking bread, and we've lost the ability to look at somebody's face. And when you say something, to get a reaction rather than just typing it and then, you know, going, oh, well, and then logging off. We need dialogue.
Absolutely. And to me, dinner parties are one of the best sources of that. And I've had people who have come over with their children, with their teenage children. And it's like, I'm sorry, no headphones.
Oh, yeah.
No iPod, no iPhone, no electronic devices at my table.
I agree.
Do you know? It's like, I'm sorry.
They're actually not allowed in the field either.
Uh-huh. Good.
I say the little iPod thing on their side looks to me like a baby bottle, and the thing in their ears are little pacifiers. And they're just like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And you miss the birds.
You miss everything.
Yes, you do. You really do. You're somewhere
today,
else.
I had three. All I did driving today was I drove to the Sebastopol Farmers Market and to Fiesta Market and home. So, and I live like a mile from the farmers market and half a mile from Pacific Market. There were three people I could have killed.
They could have
killed
attention.
Accidentally, because they were walking right in front of my car. Never even looked up. One was while I was making the left turn into the parking place. He was in the parking place, never saw me. And another one was a guy who was crossing the street when not in a crosswalk. He was walking diagonally. He was an old guy. And it's like, and he never looked up.
I don't hear you either.
No. It's very strange.
People, when they leave, they find they are much calmer because they're not always checking with social media.
They're also working. They're expending physical labor. People who spend all their time on social media aren't expending calories.
Oh, you're right. And they're learning and then teaching. And we love it.
That is just fabulous.
Yeah, I've stopped saying goodbye. I cry too much. But the students, typically, they are real upset when they leave. Mm-hmm. And it's because we become sort of their family. I mean, definitely their family.
Absolutely.
One of our students this year, I have to tell you, this wonderful young woman named Rachel. So she arrives, like everybody else. And on a whim, we took her to a ranch down the street. The Tabor Ranch came up for sale. It's been in the same family since 1852.
Tabor?
Mm-hmm.
On Canfield?
Oh, yeah, on the other end of Canfield. Okay. Beautiful white Victorian green shutters. And to our surprise, she bought it.
Wow.
27 years old. She fell in love with our valley, fell in love with Sebastopol, and she's moving.
And where's
she's
she
here. Georgia.
Wow. And what's she going to do?
She's going to farm.
Does she know what she's going to farm yet? Or just diverse?
I think diverse. I think she needs to get in and pretty much walk around for a year and see what you think is going to grow. Uh-huh. Right now, there's cows on there. The Butke Dairy runs their cows there, and she doesn't want them to leave. They're a great family and a good product. And so it's been an interesting, really interesting year this year with these students.
Yeah, that's really what great work you're doing for Sonoma County. More people need to know about you. And in part, they're finding out on Mouthful, and they will be finding out some other ways through me as well. I have lots of plans, lots of things I want to do with you. Let's talk about the sheep.
Oh, what okay.
When it's sheep, is it a herd?
It's a flock.
That's right, a flock of sheep, a herd of cows. That's right, I knew that.
Yes, we have 50-something. Okay. I say 50-something, the really bad joke is we don't count them because you fall asleep, but half of them are mine.
Hilarious.
It's really, really dorky. But half of them are mine. I have a spinner's flock, so I buy my sheep strictly for the quality of their wool.
What breeds are they?
I have Corriedales, I have Romneys, and I have Shetlands, and a couple of assorted breeds that I got out from Mimi at Windrush Farm.
Mimi Luberman.
Yes, she has really great sheep.
Yeah, I've been out there. She has wonderful sheep.
And she's a nice woman. She runs a really good program.
Yes.
And then my daughter, Snazzy, does dairy sheep. And so, but she has, she will have a new flock of Awassis in Sonoma County with bloodlines we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm. And are these for dairy?
These are for dairy.
And then what's she doing with the milk? Are they of milking age?
Yes. Right now we use the milk. So we make, the kids make mozzarella and yogurt and we cook with it and we teach them lots of ways to use the milk.
Have you made butter?
Yes, they have made the sheep butter.
Tell me how you make I'm really interested in making butter. I did a workshop at the Cheese Festival where I had about, I think it was about 40 people making butter. It was hilarious.
Wow.
I got butter makers from this company that has just little retail butter makers that you shake.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some younger people, but I had a lot of people in their 70s, maybe their 80s.
Wow.
And it takes 3 to 3.5 minutes of intense shaking. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, they have to have music. What song is long enough?
Oh my gosh.
To do. And I tried several. I tried the Ramones. I got suggestions. Most of the suggestions people gave me, I was like,
no way, right?
That's really slow.
No.
People said really, people made some really slow suggestions, but I ended up using Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll.
Oh.
Which is exactly how long it takes to make butter. And I had one woman, she must have been at least 75, and she was holding this butter maker over her head, absolutely rocking out to Led Zeppelin, and everybody was cracking up, and they've asked me to come back next year.
Oh, that's great.
But I've only made it with cow's cream.
Ah.
And you know, you must know Haverton Hill.
I do.
I love Haverton Hills.
And they've moved.
They've moved?
They've moved.
Where?
Out of county.
Oh, no. I heard, you know, I called them and they say, no, our butter's still available. Everything's
fine. It is.
But I didn't. Okay. Yeah. There's been rumors that they were close. So they did. Where did they move to?
Just a ways up north, up off I-5, I believe. No, I could be wrong, but that's what I heard.
Okay.
Just through the grapevine again. Total rumor.
When I called them, they were still in Valley Ford.
And I drove by their place today. I actually went out for clam chowder this morning.
And are they not there anymore?
They didn't seem to be a soul there.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay. Well, I will look into that because I love their butter.
Oh,
but it's hard to get.
So good. It is.
It's very hard to get. You have to go to Whole Foods in Coddingtown locally to get it.
No way.
Yeah, and I don't shop at Whole Foods. I mean, I shop at Whole Foods in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Because my daughter lives in Mississippi, so we stock up because that's the only option.
Yeah.
I don't shop at Whole Foods in Sonoma County because we have local options.
I agree.
So, but I had to have some for an event, and the only place I talked to them, and the only place I could get it was Whole Foods in Coddingtown.
Now I don't sell to them either. Again, I sell.
Yeah, you sell to Oliver's.
Oliver's and Community are both employee-owned companies,
right,
which
I saw that Oliver's just became that.
Yes, and I'm very strong with that. So, and years ago, I actually rode horses with Steve and his wife. Ruth.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was
cool.
Kind of fun.
So anyway, you do make butter.
I do. My daughter does. You'll be disappointed. I am not the butter maker.
Okay, well, I'll talk to her.
Yeah,
and I'll come
out.
Maybe she'll make butter with me.
Yes, she would love that.
Yeah, I'm working on a book about butter.
Are you really?
Yes.
We have a saying in our kitchen, everything's better with butter.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's. I look at butter as one of nature's gifts.
Yes.
In that there's this great, if you read Alexandre Dumas' book, I only know it in French, Dictionnaire Culinaire or something like that. Anyway, he's got a story about butter.
Oh.
It goes through the alphabet with different stories about foods. And he talked about how anywhere he's ever gone, and he was of a time when you traveled by horse or by train, but he would travel by animal. It might be a horse, it might be a camel. And he said, I've never failed. When I get on the horse, I put the milk into a sack and tie it around the animal's neck. And by the time I get to my destination, I have a fist-sized nubbin of butter.
Oh, that's great.
And so that's just a great, that will open the book.
Oh, that's great.
But sheep's milk butter is so delicious.
It is. And Snazzy's sheep are certified organic. So,
great.
Because we have and we put up organic hay and we have all this space, our sheep are actually free range. So when you drive by my place, you'll see the sheep sometimes out near the road. Please just honk. They'll run back. But I have 4 working sheep dogs.
Wait, and what breeds?
McNabs. All McNabs.
Now, that one I don't know.
McNab is basically, it looks just like a short-haired border collie.
Okay.
And they were out of the McNab ranch up outside of Ukiah.
Okay.
So they're kind of, the reason we want that dog is when you grow hay, their wool sheds foxtails. I had an Australian Shepherd, and he would get the foxtails in between his toes and under his arm. It took me 45 minutes every night to brush him out.
Yeah.
These guys have never had one in 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a miracle.
It is. And it saves
you. Even this little dachshund who's sitting on my lap, she gets foxtails.
They have beautiful feathers. Yeah.
So,
gorgeous dog.
So you don't do any, you don't do sheep for meat?
We do not.
Okay. That's so they live nice long lives.
Well, they give so much. So the wool that we get from the dairy flock, that goes into carpet making. So we make rugs and we do felting and we do all these fabulous things and we teach it also. And there's they just keep giving and giving and giving if you treat them well. My oldest sheep right now is 15. So they live a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they can graze and eat whatever they need to eat. They can eat the rye or they can eat the oat. We have a lot of clover because mm-hmm. we have water. And I think they keep themselves fairly healthy.
Mm-hmm. That is really interesting.
It's fun.
I don't want to gush, but it just sounds like a totally magical place.
You know, it's a great way to live. Mm-hmm. People used to come out and tell me how lucky I am, and I always feel like, gosh, the more lucky I am, the more tired I am.
And the harder you work.
But I don't actually as much anymore because, well, Snazzy's taking over, and the students, when they come back, they have all these fabulous skills, and they want to get in the kitchen, and I find that food, for me, is the gateway to teach them everything else.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Everyone eats.
Everyone does, right? Agricultural Act. Yep. So it's fun. It's really fun. And our meals are good, surprisingly.
Oh, I wouldn't expect otherwise.
Yeah. And what we don't grow, we trade for.
Uh-huh.
I'm finding that blueberries are very fungible, which is basically the economic term for traded like cash. And so I can trade a flat of blueberries for, you know, 3 or 4 boxes of greens or whatever it is that I need. So it's working out well. And I think this winter we're planting some citrus to go with the blueberries. So
oh, great.
That's going to be
good. What kind of citrus do you think?
We're doing Meyer lemons, which are my favorite. Yeah, and they're just so good paired with this. And so are plums. So we'll be doing more Santa Rosa plums. And we grow Burgundies, too.
I bought my first Santa Rosa plum today.
Was it good?
I haven't eaten it yet.
Oh.
Because I got some pluots. Last week, and you know, last year was a remarkable year for local pluots. The pluots last year were just extraordinary. So this year, I saw some pluots at Fircrest, so I got those. When I go home tonight, I will have some Santa Rosa plums, and we'll see. It's such a short season, but they're so delicious. And then I have all of these beautiful blueberries. Speaking of blueberries, Maestro, let's hear it.
Found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill, when I found you, the moon stood still on Blueberry Hill. Melody, but all of the vows you made are never to be. Oh, we're apart, you part of me still. Love's sweet melody, but all of the vows you made were only to be. Though we're apart, you're part of me still.
Fats Domino, you know, he was one of the hundreds of people rescued from the roof of his home during Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. I saw that video of him. I'm very glad he made it. Wonderful man. I love his music. Grew up on it. Tell me the philosophy of your farm.
Simple philosophy. When I started, people kind of thought I was crazy. When I first started doing hay, the neighboring farmers had a really great time laughing at me. Funny thing, 2 years later, I put up all their hay too. And now they've all transitioned to organic. And so I used to tell my husband, you may think that I'm really one crazy woman on one farm in one community, but here's the deal. These students come in, and I'm a drop in the sea, but they come, and they learn, and they change.
And then they spread, they ripple out into the world.
They do. And if each one of them is a drop, pretty soon we become a storm, and we affect change.
Absolutely.
And I have these people all over the world. And once in a while, they send me an email and sign it, your little raindrop, which always makes me tear up.
Now, what year did you start the farm?
We bought it 15 years ago, right after 9/11.
Okay.
We'd been looking for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I got lost and found it by accident and knew that that was it. I'd seen this since I was about 8 years old and had been describing it to my husband for so many years. In fact, today is our 39th anniversary. We've been together that long.
What'd you do, get married in utero?
No. Blind date when I was 16, but thank
you.
Yes. It was Oregon, so you know.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, we've been together a long time. He's a good man. He just looks
what's
at my
his name?
Oscar.
Oscar, that's a great name.
It is. Oscar Duckworth. Nobody forgets that name. And then, well, our daughter Snazzy.
Snazzy.
Which was not the name we gave her at birth. When she was two, she looked at me and said, my name's Snazzy. So we said, okay.
What did you name her at birth?
She doesn't want me to say.
Okay.
But then when she started kindergarten, I said, it's your choice, sweetie. And she said, I'm Snazzy. And we're like, okie doke.
How interesting.
Yes.
You have very good genes.
I think so.
You have unique genes.
I think so.
Which is
fabulous.
She's
a good kid.
Yeah, I met her for the first time last Monday at the Apple panel.
Yes, which was quite a laugh for us because normally I walk in someplace and they see my last name and they say, Duckworth, are you Snazzy's mom? Because she raced race cars at Petaluma for the last 3 years.
Oh.
My little Zen child vegetarian gets in a race car and she just comes unglued and loves it.
I can, you know, if my life had been just a tiny bit different, I'd be there. They used to call me in high school, what was his name? There's a race car driver, I'll think of his name. Parnelli.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Parnelli Jones?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Well, my boyfriend's last name at the time was Jordan. And then I got married in 11th grade, and it's a long, weird story, but I stayed in school. And they called me Parnelli Jordan.
Oh, my God. That's
because we bought, just before he got drafted, we bought MGB.
Oh.
And then he got drafted and he went away. I didn't have a mother to tell me what to do. And I didn't have a husband to tell me what to do. And I was tooling around in my little brand new green convertible. And they started calling me Parnelli Jordan.
Oh, my God. That is so
And I
good.
Love driving. You know, I've driven a stick shift my whole life and I love to drive.
It's a good skill.
So Snazzy and I probably have a lot in common when it comes
to
driving.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about your chickens.
We have chickens. We have two chicken coops that we repurposed from items we found on the farm when we bought it. So our philosophy is sort of the three Fs, form, function, and free. And we built them, and we move them around. Right now, they're up behind the pond number one, and we get eggs every day.
About how many eggs do you get?
We probably get a few dozen a day.
A day. And so do you sell the eggs, too?
I have a lot of students,
okay.
And they're young, so they
eat a lot of eggs.
They do. And teaching baking, you use a lot of eggs.
Yeah, you use a lot of eggs. Yeah, I realized this morning I didn't get eggs. Do you know Carol Kohler Dark?
I don't.
Carol, that's her, Carol Dark Kohler, or something. She has Rose and Thorn.
Oh, I know
Have you been
place.
To Rose and Thorn?
Years and years ago.
Okay, you need to go and sit in the chicken area. I can't call it a chicken coop. It's like a whimsical chicken village. There's a geodesic dome, a little geodesic coop. There's all these different structures, and there are so many breeds of chicken, some of them that just you can't tell which end is which because they have so many crazy feathers.
Oh, that's so funny.
And she sells these amazing organic chicken eggs. Some might be not much bigger than a robin's egg, and some might be almost as big as a duck egg. She sells them from her store, and she's only open Thursday through Sunday, so I blew it for this week.
Well, we lose two eggs a day to ravens because...
Well, good for you.
When we first had the chicken coops, the hawks were killing our chickens, and they would wipe out the mommy and take all the babies.
Yeah.
And my youngest daughter, Lauren, said to me, you know, Mom, the ravens attack the hawks. So why don't we feed the ravens?
And that's what I mean, good for you.
Away. Yeah.
I love ravens. I love
I
raisins
too.
And I love crows. So I'm glad they're getting some of that.
They're a little bit like the mafia, though. Once we forgot to give them their eggs for a week.
Were they knocking on the door?
No, they went in a side door and took every single egg.
Oh my
so
God.
We learned, just pay them. But they're good. Yeah. We can call them out of the sky now, which is nice.
Oh, that's one of my dreams. My deck where I used to just sit. I'd line up peanuts on my long western deck. And then I would just sit with the door of my dining room open, and I would sit there, and they would come.
Oh.
And they're so cautious. The most I counted, there were 21 up on the wire above where they were. They're very cautious until they come down. And I would see them get so, they could fly with three peanuts, and they're still in shells. They could fly with three, but if one put a fourth one in, he couldn't fly, and he'd have to drop one. And that went on for about 5 years.
Wow.
I can't do it anymore because the scrub jays,
oh,
who will maneuver in smaller places. Mm-hmm. I put them out, and the crows will come, and they're up there, but the scrub jays get all the peanuts before the crows do.
They're clever.
So I have to find a new place to feed my crows because I love crows. And they're so smart.
They are. And we have ravens, not crows, so they're a bit larger.
Yes.
Super smart.
I have crows, not ravens.
We have two, and they nest, and they have the babies, and the babies fledge, and we get to see the whole thing.
Oh. How wonderful.
It's a good place to live.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, we have a river otter that stays in our largest pond and has babies. So we get that too. I mean, it's truly, when I bought the property, Bud Namens, he said, Lori, whatever you do will be successful because the land here is magic. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, magic. But I think he was right. I mean, I know he was. I'm not that good a farmer. It's worked out really well.
It just sounds like the most magical place, and I have to come visit soon.
I've been trying to get you to come out for years.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. I'm such an introvert.
Oh.
I'm such an introvert.
Really?
I have to battle with myself. I mean, it works for me because I'm a writer, and so I sit at home and write.
Oh, yeah.
So I really am a total introvert. But once I know a place,
yeah.
You
feel comfortable. Feels like home.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go back to blueberries a little bit because one of the things I want to do is talk to you about some of the things you like to do yourself with your blueberries. You mentioned them really quickly, but we just went through it so fast.
Okay. So for my personal use, for my husband and my family, I freeze between 200 and 400 pounds every year. So except for this one cold, I haven't been sick and I don't really get sick, which is great. But I do frozen blueberries, one orange peeled, and whatever other fruit I have frozen, it could be pears or plums, and throw it in there, hit frappe, and I have a smoothie every morning. And then we do a lot of, obviously, pies and galettes.
I love galettes.
I do, too. And I like, as you know, I'm always begging you for recipes for fruits that are not sweet. I like savory. So I do a really good focaccia bread with rosemary and blueberries and Maldon sea salt.
Mm, perfect.
Oh, and
delicious.
And really good
and
olive oil.
Actually, very traditional in very traditional Italian dish, I think. Blueberries with focaccia. I think the first time I came across that was in Italy.
Oh, I love it. So I try to make that as often as I can and teach the kids how to make it. So but we do a lot. Mm-hmm. We do, you know, I do a lot of blueberry vinaigrette.
Yes.
So
yes.
We can throw that over the greens.
Absolutely.
And,
you know, 1 year when you gave me a bunch of blueberries, I made blueberry shrub.
Oh, yes.
And I had, luckily, just by coincidence, because I was writing a book about it, I had a spiced vinegar that I had made. And I didn't actually make the vinegar, but it was a really good red wine vinegar that I had put clove, white peppercorns, allspice, juniper berries, and probably cinnamon for maybe a year.
Oh.
And I used that vinegar to make the blueberry shrub, and it's one of the, and then, you know, I like that. I like it both just over ice with sparkling water, but also put a few drops into a sparkling wine.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's delicious and refreshing and not really sweet.
Yeah.
I don't add sugar unless I need to bring up the perception of the berry just a little bit. I don't make it cloyingly sweet.
Yeah. We do a lot of, I refuse to buy maple syrup because I love maple syrup, but when the kids come here, I try to teach them, we eat local. So we eat what's here. So we do, if they do pancakes or waffles, or biscuits, we always do a homemade blueberry, either hot jam or a syrup.
Uh-huh.
And it works out really well. And it's so simple to make.
It is.
Why not?
Very, very simple.
Yeah.
Do you ever serve it with pork? Do you ever serve your blueberries? Are you vegetarian?
I am.
Okay, never mind.
Well, no, the families. I do eat chicken and turkey and fish. So, yes, I love it with salmon.
With salmon and also with chicken thought, with the dark meat of chicken, it would be very good.
Oh, yes.
It would also be very good with the dark meat of turkey.
Yes.
You know, in the form of either a glaze or a chutney. You know, blueberry chutney is really easy to make and it's really good.
We use it like cranberry sauce.
Okay.
So you can make it not sweet. And it works out really well. And cranberries and blueberries are related. They're the two sort of indigenous berries of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to mix them, too, and it's so good.
Would you describe, for people who have never seen it, would you describe a blueberry bush?
Blueberry bush is kind of a funny creature. They start off very small and they grow, but they grow sort of exponentially. You want to get more canes coming out of the ground. And then they have little flowers that hang downward and they're white, which is important because their main pollinator is a bumblebee. So a lot of people bring in, and this always cracks me up, they bring in bee boxes for their blueberries, which is crazy.
They won't do it.
They don't.
The honeybees don't pollinate.
No. They don't. They don't sonicate because the pollen is very heavy, and so we need bumblebees.
And bumblebees are the fat ones.
The big, beautiful bumbles, yes. And we have carpenter bees and mason bees, and we have these indigenous bees in our area, and it doesn't make any sense to me to bring in a non-native bee to do a native plant, mm-hmm. because if I bring in the honeybees, I have to feed them. And then if I feed them my berry nectar, I don't feed the bumblebees. Yeah. So we try to make it as nice as possible for the bumblebees. We leave the lower part of our blueberry field is fallow just for bumblebees. Uh-huh. So blueberry plants need lots of water. They don't have a traditional root. Mm-hmm. Like, normal root will go down like 3-4 feet and has root hairs. They don't have that. Oh. A blueberry plant, the roots sort of dangle almost like a jellyfish in the top 8-10 inches only. And they hang down, and there's no root hairs. It's just fibrous. So when you have a blueberry plant, you need to make sure, A, your soil is very acidic, like 4.3 to 5.6 is really good. And you need to water both sides of the plant so it produces. Uh-huh. And if someone was going to put in a patch of blueberries, the first year you want to remove all the blossoms. Just so that
develops
under
the ground.
You need a big root. And we mulch with pine shavings. So we don't use any herbicides, pesticides, or fungicides. And mm-hmm. we are certified organic through CCOF, and they do inspect, and they're pretty thorough. Mm-hmm. And it's good. It's good.
And then how tall is the height of the blueberry bush determined by the plant's genetics or by what you do to it?
Both.
Okay.
So I've made some really good mistakes and stunted them for a year or two. And then I sort of figured it out because in this area, I didn't have any mentors. So for me, I have to go to Oregon and Washington where the farms are smaller. And like in the Willamette Valley, their climate is a lot more like Sebastopol mm-hmm. than I am to the Central Valley where most of the papers are coming out of. And they tend to grow southern high bush because they don't get enough freezing hours. Mm-hmm. So I go up there. Learn what I have to learn. I learned some really bad things, too. So, and then we try to keep the crop very, very clean. I mean, we do. We only put on shavings and water. That's it. We don't even fertilize. Mm-hmm. We grow cover crops of rye and clover.
Mm-hmm. And the ones I saw at Green Valley Blueberry Farm, they seemed like they were all about 4 feet high.
Yes.
How high do you let yours get?
I'd like them to get pretty high. The mm-hmm. goal is we would like to have children come out for UPIC. Mm. And so my philosophy is the journey to teach a child agriculture is exactly the length of their arm. If I can get a 3-year-old in the field or a 4-year-old and they reach out and grab a berry and put it in their mouth, we have receptors that are meant to remember where we found something good. And if we don't get them to learn this taste early, they will never seek it out later in life.
Right. Yeah.
And that's my concern with people that don't buy local, and by the time they get their blueberries, they've been in a store or in transit for a week, and they've been picked green. Mm-hmm. And the problem with berries, strawberries and blueberries, or mainly strawberries, is the second you pick them, and with blueberries, they will continue to get blue, but they don't get more sweet.
Right, they don't, yeah.
You're just eating a colored green berry. Mm-hmm. So we really want children to come out and taste, but we need to get the plants large enough. We thought we were going to do it this year, but they're not quite large enough. So one of my cultivars is already 4 feet tall, mm-hmm. and one of them is about 2.5 feet tall, but mm-hmm. and different flavors. All three have wildly different flavors.
Mm-hmm. How do people get a hold of you? How do people, what are...
Typically email.
Okay.
I am sort of a Luddite. I do not own a cell phone. I'm so happy. So you have to email me at blueberries@sonic.net.
Oh, that's easy.
Super easy.
Blueberries@sonic.net.
Yes.
That's the best means of communication.
It is. It is.
Right.
And I almost always return every email, typically mm-hmm. in the evening when I'm in. So. Uh-huh.
And so if people are interested... can people come and visit?
Yes. If they let me know ahead of time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
So people can't just, they don't necessarily have to sign up for a program. They can come and see the farm with advance reservations.
I have had people contact me and say, it's grandma's 98th birthday. She'd like to tour the farm. And my philosophy is yes. The people of Sonoma County have paid to keep my farm mm-hmm. in farming. And I feel it's sort of the least we can do.
Sure.
And we like to get people on the farm.
Okay, now we are going to have our last musical break. I'm not sure I even know how to describe this. It's another version of Blueberry Hill. And I think instead of telling you who it is, I'm just going to let you wonder until we come back for our final segment with Lori Duckworth of Duckworth Farms. Did you recognize that sleazy voice? That was Vladimir Putin doing Blueberry Hill. You heard it here on Mouthful. Thanks, Anthony, for finding that. Anthony and I seem to be cut out of similar cloth when it comes to music. It's really great having him both as my engineer and someone who is finding the music I want to play and augmenting it as well. We're just about out of time.
That was quick.
What haven't I? Yeah, time flies on Mouthful. What haven't I asked you?
I don't
Is there
even
anything
know.
I need? Let's see. I'm trying to think. We've been through the program.
My packaging.
Oh, talk about your packaging.
My packaging.
The little hairnets.
Well,
the cute little hairnets.
Yes, but the
all organic and all recyclable.
They are recyclable, and I see no value in buying a fruit that's been organically grown, and then you eat it, and then 15 minutes later, you have a piece of garbage that's going to last for about 400 years. And I think
those
we
little
need,
green baskets. Ugh.
We need to change our thinking. So my stuff is compostable. And that's
where do you find them?
Me.
Who's oh making
gosh.
Them?
I have to order them from back east.
Wow.
So, and I get a year's worth all at one time, and they're not inexpensive.
Sure, I'm sure they're not.
And it takes me longer. We can't be mechanized this
right.
way. So we have to put the nets on by hand.
And they're little, looks like nets made out of some
like
sort of
rubber
thread.
Band. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So oh, rubber.
They have,
okay.
They have a little bit of stretch to
oh,
them.
I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And then the green cardboard is compostable, which I like. You can put a start of a plant in it and put it in the ground and it'll decompose.
That is such a great idea.
So much better.
Yes.
So we're about zero garbage.
Mm-hmm. And then places like Oliver's Community Market, will they recycle the boxes that things come in?
Yes, we get these back.
You do?
They keep them spotless, and we can reuse them because we line them with butcher paper.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's so great. And on that note, are we just about out of time, Anthony? Okay. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB Radio 91. Have a great week. Take care of yourself. Take care of our land.
Selling out, who can blame them? Wine to cash, crop growing strong.